EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's guest is Mark in California, sharing his strange alien encounters which began in his childhood. Mark is up next.
But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Good evening, Mark, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Nick.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from California.
Yes.
Now, Mark, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us tonight. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, I've been wanting to. This is the first time I've ever talked about it, but I wrote it down. I've never really, like a lot of other people, you know, they have a YouTube channel or something. Aliens, whatever you want to call them, the other intelligence told me to, like, write it down. They told me to make a book, you know, but I just never did it. But I wrote down like a lot of stuff because they just gave me a lot of stuff, but it was all kind of in my mind, you know. But anyway, I guess where should I start? I should start where, when I was younger, off and on, I didn't really attach anything to it. I've had this like spiral feel right upon going to sleep, felt like this in the half awake state, right when you're going out to sleep. I remember this low, like corkscrew, like twisting feeling where you just feel like, oh, like really euphoric, like right to the center of your chest. And you were just part of this chunky spiral that was just going like, turning really slow. You know, you were just the center of this giant, like a whirlpool, but as if you were just turning real slow, you know, just. But I used to have that feeling. I didn't really know what it was, but, you know, I kind of remember back when I was 7, maybe, and then, like, early teens, I remember having that feeling. And then I remember I was, like, about 15. I mean, I remember it kind of twice before, but then I remember one time when I was, like, about 15, and I wasn't even 16 or 17. But it was, like, mid-teens. I remember one time I thought, yeah, I want to go sleep outside. I just had this thought that I remember taking my mattress. I slept outside on the edge of this field. And I remember that night, I had that spiral feeling, just like really great feeling where you just feel like you're just spinning real slow, but like you are part of this corkscrew. But it was kind of like centered right in the center of your chest. But I remember when that happened, I could hear the train. I thought it was the train, like going up the grade. There used to be a train that would go up the Willits grade. It's pretty steep. But you hear the trains like rumbling, like, vroom, 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 vroom. You know, they'd be like off. Trains would be chugging, climbing the grade as they started going up the grade. It would like kind of snake around. But I remember feeling that vibration, like vroom, 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 kind of a slow. Vroom, 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 vroom. But then later on, I kind of think it was connected with the spiral. I remember telling my mom, yeah, I had that spiral feeling last night, you know, and she's saying, oh, you know, it's probably just a dream or anyway. So then I had it again, probably another time, like mid-20s or it wasn't really that often. Anyways, I was like 38 and three quarters when they finally came. I got to tell you some other things that happened also. But anyway, so then right the same night that when they first came, they put me in that spiral feeling. And then all this stuff happened. I knew, okay, you know, that was connected with them. You know, they were visiting me earlier. It would connect like, oh, okay, that's what that spiral feeling was. You know, somehow they were kick me in, but I didn't remember anything. You know what I mean? So that was the one thing. Another time we were planting grapes. This is way back. I was like, we were 14. We're just kids. I remember somebody said, yeah, there's a UFO over there. All of a sudden, everybody thought they saw, but I didn't see nothing. And other people thought they saw, but everybody wanted to believe they saw something. And I remember everybody was, ran down the field. You know, they were running. But my one cousin, Paulus, we always asked to talk about, yeah, I remember that one time everybody thought we saw a UFO. And you know, other people thought it was a flock of birds. But some people wanted to believe that they saw it, but, you know, they didn't. But I didn't see anything. But I remember everybody was all hyped up about somebody saw a UFO and everybody ran down to the end of the field. And it was amazing that my cousin Paulus just last year finally came back and he visited. And I asked him about what he saw. And he's the only one that actually saw anything. But he said he saw what looked like somebody was like flashing a mirror. You'd see like a light just kind of like going like flashing. And he said it like moved down this one road. He said he could see it go between trees, like pine trees. So he could see it behind, you know, one pine tree and in front of another pine tree, and it kind of went between. He said it kind of went back and circled around where the lake was and then came back. But it was just nothing more than like somebody was like flashing a mirror, you know, like you'd see it from a distance, somebody. Then he said it came back and then it just shot up at like a 45 and took off. And I said, are you kidding that you saw that? I mean, I didn't find this out until like 50 years later. Anyway, so I'm like 69 now, and I'm getting old fast. But anyway, yeah, so when I was visited, I was like 30, it was 1993. And when we saw that, when everybody was hyped up about the UFO, that was like 1964 or 5 or something. And then another thing that happened, I was standing out on the porch of this old house, this little red house. When I was a little kid, I mean, I was young because I remember we'd mark how high we were on the post of the porch. You know, you'd see, oh, there's small kids. You put your mark. But I remember I carved like a little alien. Back then it was like little green men with an antenna on their head with a little zigzag electrical going in between the antennas, right? So it was like, I remember I carved this little alien's head in the wood of the post with a little antennas. I kind of thought, wow. Like somehow everybody would be talking about, you know, little green men or, you know, but that's about as much I knew about it back then. But anyways, I was standing out there and I see this like a fireball go shooting down. I thought it hit the mountain. I remember running up, told my dad, yeah, there's a big fireball crashed in the mountain. You know, I wanted to go up and, you know, find it. It was like just big. You could see like a tail, but this was like during the day. I don't know, it might've been getting a little bit dusk. I remember this big fireball just went like, did a big arc. It looked like it just landed right down the mountain, you know, I thought. But anyway, that was another weird thing. You know, I still never connected it with, you know, UFOs or nothing. But I wasn't really that much of a, you know, because we were just kids. But, you know, people heard this and that about different things, you know, UFOs. But it was kind of like imaginary, kind of like stories. Anyway, so other things that happened. Okay, this was one of the weird things was we were watching Mission Impossible on TV, and it says, if you decide to accept this mission, and there's like a little tape recorder, and then the mission is given, and then the tape recorder goes like, whoosh, and like melts, you know, it's like smoke and just to destroy the evidence of the guy's mission, you know. And that was like the beginning of the movie, Mission Impossible, and it has music. But anyway, we're all watching Mission Impossible, and it's like in the middle of the show, I grew up in 12 kids. I'm the second of the 12. Yeah, we live out on a ranch, you know, grow grapes, plant grapes, ended up starting a winery and everything. But, you know, that was a long time ago before the winery started. But we're watching Mission Impossible. Anyway, everybody, there's like a commercial break. Everybody gets up, get a sandwich or whatever, go to the bathroom. During the commercial, I'm sitting there. I'm the only one on the couch. You know, it's like a big couch around there. And I see like what's like a ghost TV screen. It's like in midair between the brother built this like a Heathkit TV. You know, it's like in a plywood. He built the whole thing by, you know, back then they had the old style TVs. And there was like a TV screen in between the other screen, and there was like three red stripe bands, you know, like when a TV is kind of like getting a bad signal, you'll see these stripes going like, and they just keep drifting up the screen. And as soon as the upper stripe goes out off the top, the lower one will appear on the bottom, right? So there's always like was three, these red stripes that were kind of like static with these stripes that were red that we're just slowly moving up the screen. And I thought, I didn't really think anything. I just thought it was like a ghost, but I should have thought it was weirder than I did. I didn't really. Anyway, so then right after that, it's like just in midair, but I could see right through it. And I could see the other TV behind it, you know, with whatever was on it. I wasn't really watching the commercial of whatever was on it. Then all of a sudden out of the corner of my left eye, it seemed like, it was like a room that was downstairs, but it was just nothing but a reflection of the light off this tile floor that was like one of these old tile linoleum floors. But anyway, all of a sudden I just thought I saw a room that was down there, like a game room where I kind of thought, oh, there's a pool table down there, you know, and there's like a stairway and there's like a light. There's a room down there, but it just kind of appeared out of my left edge of my left eye, you know, and that happened right after I saw the screen. Anyway, that was a weird thing. And I remember telling my dad, yeah, I saw this ghost TV screen. I thought I saw like a room that was kind of just downstairs, you know. But then you look and you go, oh, well, it's just like a reflection from the sun, off the floor, you know. But it just was so real for a second there. Anyway, that was a weird thing. I didn't really consider it as being paranormal, you know, but I didn't really get all scared. Anyway, so later, I was in high school, but I remember they were going to have like a dream class, and everybody said, yeah, you can have a dream class. You have your notebook, you write down everything you dream, you know. But I just had this one image of like a red manzanita tree. I don't know if you've ever seen a manzanita, but when they're wet, the bark is like just bright red. These manzanitas, they just look like blood red. And I remember red manzanita going like, wow, you know, just, it was just like so real. You know, other than that, I didn't have any dreams that I remembered, you know, but I remembered that. Because later on when they were just speaking in dreams and all this and giving me all these visions and stuff, I thought back and went, my God, you know, that must have been them. And, you know, gave me that red manzanita dream because, man, that was, you know, because they can give dreams that are just so real compared to just a regular dream. Anyway, so that was probably from them. And then, okay, then when I was late 20s, 28, anyway, we were planting a vineyard out in the field. And I was like the guy digging the holes with a shovel, right? Because first they plow the field up really super plush, so everything's super easy to dig, you know, and just like immaculate. But it was so easy to dig. You didn't even need a post hole digger. You just use a shovel. And I was using a shovel digging. This one day, and so I was going to be the shovel digger the next day. You know, they have the planters and the shovel diggers, and you get out there in the morning. It's really nice and cool. And, you know, it's nice when it's weather's nice and the soil's real nice. But anyway, so the next morning, so I have a dream where I find this red rock, like a super bright red rock. But anyway, I go out there the next day, and then I'm digging, and I dig up this, pretty sure right when I found the rock, I remembered the dream. But I'm saying, but in my mind, I went like, wow, I dreamed. You know, I dreamed I found a red rock and I found it. You know, it was so real. So it was like a precognitive dream where I found this. It was like a big rock. It's pretty big. You know, you could fill your whole hand. And I was really into rocks. And anyway, so that was amazing. And I thought, it's amazing. How could I dream? But I'm pretty sure when I didn't remember that I dreamt it until I found it. Later on, when they were doing all this other stuff, they were like unlocking dream sequences in mid-morning, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, wow, I remember all this stuff. And then you remember it from the night before. So I think they have the ability to plant the dream, and then when you remember it, you know that you dreamt that the day before or that night. But anyway, so then there's other stuff that happened after they did all their major stuff. I mean, I could tell some of those things. Anyway, so one time I was in the warehouse. This was after I was just blown away by what they did. But there's like one of these old radios, like a shortwave radio. And I was talking earlier that day about I wanted to go to Montana to pick up this old car. But the guys told me, yeah, the weather's really bad up here now. It's like been snowing and the roads are all icy. You know, you shouldn't come up here now. You know, wait till the weather is better, and everything's not so dangerous. And so, that was kind of on my mind. So a little later, I'm on the back of this warehouse, and I like this old radio. It was like a shortwave that I got from a garage sale or something. Anyway, so somehow I was like moving. I had the radio in my hand. I hear a voice that says, it was just like perfectly clear. It was like a lady's voice. I said, yes, the time is not right now, but it will be in the near future. And then I go like, what? It feels like it's coming out of the radio. And then I look, I go, what? How does this radio work? Because it never worked before. Then I kind of thought, it's not plugged in. I go, oh, wow, there must be like batteries in it. And then I open it up. There's like no batteries in it. And that really blew me away. I thought, my God, I could have sworn. I mean, I know I heard a voice say that in this radio, and it was radio didn't work. And then another time, there was like this really loud, like just bang noise in the corner of the warehouse. And there's like another lady heard it. She was like packing boxes for, they sell wine mail order in Yahoo. They have, and she goes, yeah, I heard that. What was it? And then there's like just like sounded like something just blew up. And I went back there looking. Like, what the heck was that? It just sounded like this big, like, pow noise. We went looking, there's nothing there. We thought something like blew up, something exploded, but there was nothing. There's no evidence of anything. That was some weird, another weird thing that happened. And then another time, this is after they did all the other stuff that I'm going to explain later. I was up driving forklift and on the forklift, just moving stuff in the boneyard, from one place to another, and I'm looking in to the east, and right when I'm the forklift's running, I look up, and there's like looks like a little top hat, you can say it's a UFO, but it looked kind of like melted on one side, like it was kind of dark gray. But one side of it looked, the light, if it would refract a certain way, it would kind of look like it wasn't perfect, and I just for like 5 seconds, I see that, and I go, and I look down for a second, and I look back up, and it's gone. Anyway, they would do edge of vision things when I was all hyped up. And the very day where I was just really hyped about it, and I'd be riding my bicycle, out of the corner of my eye, I would see like a big, looked like a bird flying way off in the distance, like a big bird. You see its wings, like, and then right when I turned to look at it, there's nothing there, right? So they can do edge of vision. And it's amazing how the very day that you're really thinking about and you're all excited, like, you see that. So this has happened like twice, two different times. So I thought, okay, that's what they're doing. There was another time I was at Lake Mendocino. When they came, I was like really like attached to them, like somehow. So when they came, I was like crying, what? Why did you leave? It's like somehow I was bonded with them when I was like an infant. There's no other way to, I study all the signs of when I grew up. I remember my grandmother would say, oh, your mother had such a hard time with you. You just would cry all the time. And then I'd see pictures of me, and a lot of the pictures, I remember there's one scrapbook, it says, there's Marky, here he is. As usual, he's crying again, just mad, like for, somehow maybe it was the way I would get attention, but somehow I had this weird scene with my mother where it kind of shunned me, like, if you're going to act that way, I'm just going to teach you a lesson that, you're not going to get being controlled me by just crying and fighting and whatever. But anyway, so I think what happened was, and when I was really young, these aliens like bonded with me, but somehow it remained like repressed. Anyway, I've studied a lot of the other cases where they say, oh, the people have a borderline, you get it like a split psyche where it's kind of like a trauma. So imagine if the baby like screams all night. But anyway, supposedly I hear these stories. Oh, they gave you away to the Navajo Indians, they used to work at at Navajo Reservation where my dad and mom were like, they're doctors. They wanted to, I think it's kind of like if you're trying to have a career and raise kids at the same time, it's going to conflict, right? So, and then people go, no, that's your Navajo nanny. You know, you're imagining it. You know, it's all in your head. You go, yeah, right. How's my Navajo nanny coming back in thin air, claiming there are people in a parallel world, not this? And I'm crying because I said, you know, I'm crying, why did you leave? And the, anyway, so when they came back, this being, I don't even know who they are, that they just released this feeling in you, like, you know, we're the ones that loved you. And I'm just like crying. Because then when they left again, after they first came, I was felt like they would say, no, you know, come back, come back. And I had this abandonment thing where, so that's where my case is different than a lot of these cases you hear, you know, where, you know, these aliens have no right to mess with you, you know, they don't have the right to take away your free will. When I see people, you know, you hear some of these cases where the people are just like bashing the aliens. But, you know, with me, I just start getting mad at those people because I have such a loyalty for these aliens. But yeah, so somehow they instill this extreme dedication. You know, so even though there is side effects and you go through all like being really mad, and sometimes you get mad at them if they, but anyway, then you could tell that when they developed this talking, anyway, it's a long story. Spoke in dreams for like 2 years, and then finally they started speaking in these remote images. I could put it where they would throw images in your mind's eye of literally scenes going way back into your life, or scenes that happened recently in your life. And they would start speaking in this metaphor, similar to a dream, where you, in metaphor in dreams, but they would just take images out of your life and throw the image. But anyway, I should go back to the story and try to explain. I never even explained the story yet. I'm just kind of getting ahead of myself. I was kind of alcoholic and smoked really bad, so I had a really bad lung coughing, kind of like I was bad. You know, you hear a lot of stories like that. They visit people that, you know, they got to clean up your act, die young kind of mentality. But anyway, so then I used to listen to this radio station. It's called Family Radio Stations out of Oakland, California. They broadcast like all over the world. This one preacher guy, he's like, he knew a lot about Bible numerology and all this. He would like compare scripture with scripture, and he was a super fanatic. He wrote this book, 1994. You know, he's one of these people that's going to predict the end of the world. In his mind, he'd take everything literally. You know, the world's going to burn fervent heat. It's going to be the end. There'll be nothing left. It's just everything's going to burn. It's not, you know, that is the end. But he wanted to set a date when the world's going to burn and when it's going to end. And so, he read that book, 1994, and he just ran preaching on about how all these verses line up, you know, and he figured it out that Christ's going to return on the Jubilee year of 1994. A Jubilee year is every 40 years. He knew a lot, and I learned a lot about biblical, the way it was written, and all the different numbers. You know, there's a lot of numerology stuff where they use different numbers, and and just a lot of stuff where it is complicated, and it all does fit together. It did make a lot of sense. But anyway, then people, I listened to the open forum. These people would phone in, you know, what about if people are seeing the UFOs? And he'd just go, no, that's Satan. He believed everything was Satan. You know, Satan this. And, you know, said God will not speak. You know, the last time God spoke was Pentecost. You know, it's 30 years after Christ's death or something, like when the apostles were, during Pentecost, they were supposedly had tongues of fire on their head, and they were being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. And then it says something like, you know, do not, but there's all these warnings. Do not expect anything after that. You know, the book was closed at Pentecost. That was it. And God will never speak again until the end. And anything else that's coming from the supernatural, he goes, you can bet Satan will accommodate you very nicely. It's like everything was like Satan this, and then he would just go on about, you know, UFOs are Satan. That's, you know, people's minds are very tricky. He would go on how people's, you know, you can't trust what people are seeing. You know, people's minds are very tricky. They can imagine things, you know, and all the same old logic. People say, oh, you read it, you know, you heard about it. Next thing you know, you're imagining, you're seeing this, you know. And then he goes, but if it is real, it is definitely not God. God does not speak. That is Satan. And so he was just everything with Satan. You know, because the Bible just harps on about just so many demons and Satan, because I think, you know, a lot of people did view a lot of that stuff as demonic. So it's just like, you know, it's probably, I think the word demon is more mentioned than the word angel, you know, or God. But anyway, so there's like a big, the only way to reconcile that, you have to say, okay, well, God's playing the role of Satan, you know, if that's the, if it's going to work. And then, you know, you look at all the end time scenario and the way that it talks about. And then, you know, what about the verse, you know, God will let Satan loose a little season. You know, in other words, God has reins on Satan and all that. And then the Book of Enoch thing where all the, they go, oh, no, the Book of Enoch doesn't mean nothing because it's not in the Bible. But, you know, that, but people took all that stuff out. They didn't want, it was just too risque. But in the Old Testament, it talks all about, you know, the daughters, the fallen angels. You know, it's in there, how the fallen angels came. Now you see all these people now on TV, just like Marzulli and everybody's talking about, but they're all talking to the religious people that are afraid, but it doesn't really matter because, you know, Satan works too, you know, because it's all about getting over the fear. You know, you look at it, the way it's all designed. So, you know, the religious people are all, oh, yes, there's something on, you know, the fallen angels are back because everybody's finally believing that all these people are being abducted. There's so many cases going on that, you know, that can't be denied. Yeah, so it's all finally coming out where the religious people are, but they're still clinging to the thing that, you know, that's not God. God's going to come and clean house, get rid of all fallen angels, you know. But, yeah, they say that, you know, they don't, that's not how, what God does. God doesn't take away your free will. God doesn't have the right, you know, because that's breaking laws and all that, you know. But anyway, after I was visited, these aliens, they would like speak in my dreams, and they would like mix the radio on all night and the TV. I was just so freaked out. But anyway, so it started out, I'd be reading the Bible because I would just kind of all of a sudden I picked up this one. It's just the New Testament. It's called The Way Home. It's just like this little printing. It was just nothing but the New Testament. Anyway, so I would read a little bit out of the Bible each night. When I was reading it, it would be like, felt like it was speaking right to me. Start underlining all these verses. It's kind of like some spirit was in me that it wasn't really me. It was taking me on this path. But anyway, so I was reading the Apostle Paul in Colossians, you know, that went on for like a few nights, and I'd be like reading a certain amount each night. And right, all of a sudden I'm in Colossians, right? And right at that part, and I remember it was really late night, next thing you know, that these aliens do like a, I go to sleep and I have this super real vision of like taking off the roof of this building complex that resembles like a body. A body with like a right arm held up and the head like a square, two squares, but it resembled like a sacrificial altar. It's like these little cut corners. Like, you remember the old sacrificial altars? They would have square. They'd be these little horns on each corner. It starts out, I'm just laying in bed. Cause I knew I was laying in bed. And it's like a super real vision of, imagine that you're like looking out of the bottom of like a helicopter or a flying saucer or something that's just moving really slowly off of a pad. All of a sudden, your field of vision is just, you're right there, a foot off the ground or 2 feet or whatever. And then as it raises up, this whole building complex slowly comes into view. You know, it would be like three-dimensionally. You see it, everything appear like on the peripheral. It looks like a hedge over there. These other little buildings, you know, there's like little corner blocks on all these little, some side buildings, and I went like, wow, what, where is this? And I kind of thought it was some building complex. I didn't really know at first, but anyway, then the whole picture thing goes like boom and stops, and it just was up like a little ways up, and then it starts over again as if to say, you know, get ready, you're not ready for the whole picture yet, we're going to do it. It goes up again, and then it just started going higher and higher, and all of a sudden I'm looking down and going like, building down there, and all in my mind I try to remember what it looked like, and later on I figured out it was like a body, and I took off the roof of the head that was like a square, and then it just goes, all of a sudden it goes like woo, and just goes up faster and fast. I mean, I'm not super fast, but anyway, pretty soon you see all these like grid, like imagine that whole building would have just been on one city block, and pretty soon there's like all these other city blocks appearing, but every one of them was like a fluorescent orange, like a little fluorescent orange cube inside, and everything else looked like city streets. Like, imagine you're looking down on a city, and everything was like just cut up into this big grid pattern. But see, the grid gave like a three-dimensional view, right? It gave you like the feeling of movement, you know, like depth. And it's like one of these video games where, anyway, so then the whole thing just goes way up. And pretty soon I couldn't even see the building down there anymore that I took off of. And then the whole thing kind of goes like woof and just like stops the way that you'd feel like an elevator stop, have that light, you're like in your chest, like, whoa. And then all of a sudden it just remained there for a moment. And then it starts going sideways to the south, and you can see everything moving the way that you would be on an airplane. You see everything kind of moving slowly. When you look out the window, you go, wow, but you can't really feel that you're moving, but you see it. I could see the grid like slowly moving, and then it starts going faster and just goes like, whoa. Then all of a sudden it just goes like, whoa. And everything is like a slingshot, and you just had that feeling like they just did this virtual reality saucer ride and like a super vivid dream. But I knew I was laying on my bed because I remember I was laying face down on my pillow. And then later that night, that being, they would kind of come off and on. That music was playing, and they would like put me in this regression where I was crying. And anyway, I'm crying, you know, why did you leave? You know, kind of like pat me on the chest and on my legs, saying, you know, you're good, you're good. And kind of like they revert me back to like a little infant. I was in a fetal position, like crying. And it was weird. They can like dig out stuff out of your minds. It's like they know everything about you.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
I didn't really think I was crazy until, and it took a while. Even then, I didn't think about all the stuff they were doing. But see, the thing is, when you come in, you're just fighting and you're like traumatized. I think it's kind of a perfect entrance for them because you're going to face that anyway. And I think that's what I was like going through when I was like a baby or something, you know. Then I thought they were like, they were making me like fantasize about different girls that I liked. I mean, I was just, and then I thought they were like using me for extracting sperm. Then I remember one time I asked him, am I a father? And I had this thought that all life is precious. I mean, I just had this feeling like, you know, they can plant the thought in your head, this is what happened, you know, and even though they don't let you remember it. One time I was crying, you know, I'm just an animal. So I remember I ate like the bean and onion sandwiches that night. And I remember I had cutting really bad, like gas. And I thought, I felt like that was rude. They're probably thinking I'm just a rude. And I just kind of felt like, well, you know, here I am being abducted. But you feel like embarrassed. Everything was so weird. It all happened. When they first came, I remember I was really scared. It was like a knife. I was thinking there was a knife laying by the bed, and I kind of thought, well, I should hide this knife because somebody might think I would want to use it. You know, the different things that were weird. When they first, I had the spiral feeling. And I'd close my eyes, and they'd be like this gray in my eyes. And it'd be turning blue, like spatter, these waves in your eyes. And I remember it would be getting blue. It would kind of move, and it would get really bright blue, and I finally would just get really bright blue, like a spattering in your eyes. And the first that was happening, and then I'd feel like I was like fluttering. And I remember one time I imagined in my mind there was like one taller one that I called G's. Then there's five like shorter ones kind of standing by that were feeling like having sympathy on me. Anyway, so they came like on three like successive nights, and this being was, you know, saying, you know, we want to help you, and we instill this super love that, you know, we love you, and you just could feel they're just by your side. They'd take songs off the radio, and I'd be like, you know, they create a dream, and then a song that's playing on the radio will speak to what is in the dream. You know, then they can like enhance this feelings of, you know, extreme joy and love. And so they're like doing all this stuff where they're glorifying me, and it was just too much. I was like, you gotta be kidding. I just was, how could this be me? How could I be, because I just felt like a nobody. I just thought, this is crazy. Like, how, I thought they must be like doing this, people all down the coast or something. I just couldn't believe it. Why would they do just to me? I kind of felt like blown away, because I had like a really like low self-esteem. And if you're like a negative person and you don't interact weird, people are always like poking at you. Then, I would snap back. It's kind of like you're overly defensive. And so I somehow like had a real, I wasn't your average favorite person. I was kind of an asshole. Just by acting weird and then like overreacting, and you're being paranoid, thinking everybody thinks you're a dork. Because I used to work at a Red Vice store, and I always kind of thought, why does everybody hate me? And I finally realized I must act like a jerk. Anyway, so that they just were pouring on all this, kind of thought, this has got it. I just couldn't believe it, that, this was happening. Anyway, so then, so I was just like really mad at my parents. My dad was kind of like alcoholic, and he just, because he didn't have a job, and he kind of would take it out on, people that don't have their trip together. They kind of become, I wasn't much better. But yeah, so it's kind of like, everybody was dysfunctional, because it's hard. My dad, having 12 kids and trying to raise a family. And that's what he realized, everybody has their own issues they got to deal with. Anyway, so then a lot of stuff happened. But so anyway, yeah, one time there I was, the being is going, you're angry with me. And I go, what? Why? Because all this is said in telepathy. Right? It's just in your head. They're just saying, you're angry with me. And I go, why? And then the thought comes, because we tricked you. And then I had this feeling like, wow, yeah, you're right. You tricked me, because, here these guys are coming out of thin air. It was kind of like my father in a sense, but it wasn't my father. But to my father, I'd been dead for a couple of years. He died in 1989, and these aliens came in 1993. My dad had cancer from smoking, and he got throat cancer, and they ended up committing suicide over at the coast. He like blew his brains out with a dumbbell shotgun. Yeah, that is what happened. He didn't want to go through. He knew it was like terminal. You put a cop sawed-off shotgun in your mouth, because you can reach the trigger, obviously, because he had one. Yeah, and then somebody found him floating out in the ocean. But anyway, he was had been dead since 1989. Anyway, so this being, because we tricked you, then I had this feeling like, wow, yeah, I'm kind of like, I have power over you guys. You guys tricked me. I should be pissed. Right when I said, and I go, oh, okay, well, we're even. And right when I said we're even, all of a sudden the thunder goes, because the lightning flashed a little bit before that, the thunder will hit a little bit after. And right when I said, okay, we're even. And then right when I said that, the thunder just went boom. And I just went like, just like super scared. I realized later they can make you feel the fear. They can like crank it up. Every one of the things they can do, they can put it max mode, or medium mode. Just like when they do the full body buzzing trip. Because later on they did, going through so much stuff, they would make me like relive being abducted. And even though I never had an actual, like a lot of people say, oh yeah, the UFO came outside, and I never saw it. They did it all in like virtual reality in these super real dreams. And it's like they can just take everything and create it all in dreams that are so real that you don't need reality. Then they can enhance all the everything, the emotions. Later they would give me these dreams where they would usually do it when I was like really just scared, and they would do it as a way of saying, hey, face the fear and experience it. So they just make, if you had a really scary day, they would make you have it, face it that night and say, okay, we're just going to keep on pouring it on until you just work it out and work it over, get over it. Yeah, so they can do the three different variations of the buzzing. Later on, they would do like, they can do a real slow, like undulation one, like woo, woo. Or a medium, like, or a high one where you're just going like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, the whole thing is just, because I asked them, I said, come back, show me more. A lot of people say, that when people, if you tell them, I don't want you to mess with me, they will leave. But in my case, I said, I'm not as afraid. When I had the dreams of being abducted, I was I would say, no, I'm not afraid. You know, this one time I went to a library over the coast. I'd go to every library, every bookstore, trying to find anything about UFOs. And I found this Meyer UFO magazine where it has that picture of the craft on the hill where the logs are all stacked up. I got the UFO magazine. The librarian gave me the Billy Meyer UFO magazine. I couldn't believe it. I'd be looking for all these other books. I found Edith Fior book about abductions. You know, I was just searching everywhere, but she gave me I brought that book home. I mean, it's a UFO magazine. Anyway, so then that night, I have this dream where I am on that hill in that scene of the next to the logs picture, and I have this feeling like my body's going woo, and then all of a sudden this world, it's like a whirlwind, like just took me right there. I could just feel my whole body like whoa. And they created a dream of literally of that picture that I got, a photo in this super real dream, and I'm being like taken. I'm like talking to them, yeah, take me, I'm not afraid, I want to be taken. And I feel like I'm being taken up in a whirlwind. And then all of a sudden my whole body is like mobilized, laying on I knew I was laying on my bed, and I'm just going, And then I clench one of my hands. And then right when I clench it, because I couldn't move, everything goes like, whoa, just stopped. And then I hear this like crack behind the TV. I think that's when the poltergeist first came. And I went like, wow, what is that? What's that loud crack behind the TV? But that's when it first like finally started breaking out, where they're coming out of my dreams into, it kind of blew me away. Like, oh my God, now they're like doing stuff during the day, because they never used to do stuff during the day before. And then that's kind of their turning point. This went on for like a couple of years where they were speaking, where then they started throwing me these images. I call them remote pieces of your, literally they take pieces of your memory, throw them into your mind's eye. All of a sudden you have this flash like, wow, why did I see that from way back when? All of a sudden just pop in there out of nowhere, because it just comes in out of blue, and you know it's not you. And then I finally realized, my God, that's them. They're like taking these little memories of mine. Finally was able to figure out what they're doing, and then you study what is in that scene. And then it's like speaking in a metaphoric way, like, you know, that's you, using different themes. But they're all like basic themes, you know, the water is life. And then they show me the scene of when I was like selling seeds. When I was like a little kid in first grade, you buy these seeds in the back of a comic book, you try to sell them, and you get a prize, like, you know, you win a fishing pole or bicycle or something. Remember, I just only sold a few. Like, they show me an image of like when I was trying to sell seeds, or when I was selling lemonade on the side of the road. But what they're saying is, you know, you're planting, that is you. So they throw me different images of, that's most of all that I wrote down. I have so many images that take too long to explain. That's why I would have to write it and have it on a link or something, because I couldn't talk about it all. Some of them are just amazing. They know everything going back, and they can like isolate different, and they can flip through everything and say, oh. And sometimes I couldn't figure out what the heck it meant. And then later they would throw it again as if to say, no, you didn't get it. And then sometimes they would literally come right out and you'd hear the thought, just this is what it means. Yeah, and then they did this other really super real dream of that ancient astronaut, you see it on the tomb lid, the one where the guy looks like he's sitting in a chair, and they did that one. It was a super real dream where there's the split fire spark plug thing is going like flash, flash, flash. And then I saw that. So I was so blown away. I regarded everything as like, you know, just important. But then I realized later, you know, they could just do this forever. You know, I just wrote everything down for like 4 or 5 years. They did like 3 or 4 or 5 really exciting like abduction dreams. We always see lights in the sky. You have these dreams where, you know, everybody's out in the field and we're walking. And you're saying, wow, look at that. And you're yelling at people. You know, it's the dream would start like, you know, people are partying. And then it would turn in, you know, there's a UFO in the sky. But the dreams are so real. It's, you know, they're just, it was amazing. Anyway, so what happened was, I got kind of ahead of myself. But so then this brother camping guy kept ranting on about, you know, Christ can return 1994. And I would listen to open forum, and you could never phone in and give your opinion. I guess the guy would like hog the host, brother camping. He would like do all the talking. He would just shut the people down that were trying to say, yeah, I think kind of like, and he would not back down that UFOs are not God. They're demons. And I used to just get really mad at this guy, like, because the aliens instilled in me, like, kept speaking to me. They kind of convinced me in my dreams. So anyway, I ended up sending like 12,000 letters to churches all over the U.S. I did it right about 1994 at the beginning of the Feast of Harvest. It was like mid-September 1994. And that was it. Brother Camping's prophecy that, you know, this is going to be the day, you know, Christ can return. So the aliens convinced me, like, wow, you know, because I was just mad. I had this anger anyway from, you know, just like a mad kid when I was younger. And, you know, mad at my mom and dad, you know, because I kind of had a falling out with them. We had a big family. And anyway, so I kind of had that desire to, like, attack authority, you know. But the aliens kind of, they knew me, like, and they said, yeah, we want you to tell them that, you know, we're God. Anyway, I showed the visions they gave me. Anyway, at one point when they came, they said, I said, how did you get here? You know, where? How did you get here? And they showed me these three visions. One of them was like a right angle with like a little door that was moving. And anyway, they said, you know, we're people in a parallel world. And then the other one was like a circle with a line down the middle with people on either side. But it looked like people walking in the park that had just gotten out of church. And I thought, you know, it's kind of like they're dressed in their Sunday best from the 1920s. Guys had top hats and ladies had feather hats. Or maybe from the 1890s. Like one of these old paintings, you see people dressed up with these pictures. There was like a mirror image on either side of this line of people that were like strolling in a park. And I just kind of sensed, oh, they just got out of church. You know, they're strolling in a park and dressed in their Sunday best. And so that vision happened after that one of the right angle. The one with the right angle was two rectangles connected at a right angle. That whole spiral thing, I got all into that. That, you know, the golden mean spiral has the secret rectangle, holds the formula for the golden mean. You know how the rectangle just keeps on going up, 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 down to infinity. There's like a square and a rectangle, square. And then the Mandelbrot set and all that stuff seen in nature. Anyway, I posted a link about the sacred numbers. Yeah, then 144 and all these numbers hold the, and all those numbers are actually in the Bible. Numerology, it all ties into the nature of the universe. Remember I told you they could throw these remote images in my mind, like boom, just pop them in. A long time ago when I was younger, I was in Yosemite sitting on a log reading a book called The Nature of the Universe. And it's like, it's just like a big long cut log. And I remember I was reading that book by Doyle or something, The Nature of the Universe. I was like, you know, really young then, like in teens. And they threw that image, because they can go back different places in your life and they'll pick different times you were in different settings, like when I was in Yosemite or when I was, you know, skiing or when I was doing that or that. And they will pick out all these scenes that are speaking a metaphoric way and they will like throw them to you and you go like, wow, wow. So they threw me this image of when I sat on that log and read that book, Nature of the Universe, and it means, and I use the idea of to harvest. They throw me other scenes of like when I saw a sickle in a tree, you know, stuck in his tree up on the mountain. And I didn't know why in the heck are they throwing me a picture of a sickle stuck grown into a tree, you know. Another time I saw a picture of they threw me an image of the sickle that was sticking out of a barn, a hole, not hole of a barn, when I used to drive by this one old barn. I thought, why didn't they throw me that picture of a sickle sticking out of a barn, you know. And you know, you finally realize, okay, that means to harvest. Anyways, another idea is the idea of the right angle. Remember I said, I asked, how did you get here? And they showed me these two rectangles connected at a right angle. It was like this little flap, like a hinging right at this center of where the two came together. And this little flap is moving slightly back and forth, like it's blown in the wind. You know, so if the flap was shut all the way, anyway, so they're saying, you know, we pop in at supposedly the other universe, intersecting at a right angle, I think, because I was watching one video. But then the spiral also has something to do with, I think, the way that they're, because when I first asked, how'd you get here, I thought I saw it spinning in a tube. It was like super vague. It was just like almost like a feeling, like, wow. So then first I saw that, three things. First that, then the right angle. But the right angle, two rectangles at a right angle were turning really slowly, like counterclockwise. And then that lasts like 5 seconds. And I go, boom, it went out. Then the one with the wall, looking down a wall, seeing people on either side. Because that was the biggest, heaviest visions when I said, you know, how'd you get here? Because that's when the being was in the room speaking to me. Those were the first three nights. Because they came out three successive nights. And then the second night, I remembered this dream. I didn't remember it till mid-morning. I walked through this three levels of this temple. And I walked with like these three different father figures. And the first father figure was my boss from the Red Valley store. He like led me up to this, it's like a big plaza. The first plaza was a big grass field and a big rectangle. But then we were over on the right, there's like stairs. And you look, oh, it's like a big football field. But then over on the right, there's like these empty planter boxes, like square planter boxes. And I kind of thought, wow, there's no plants in them. And I kind of thought, that's weird. Anyway, then the stairs kind of reminded me of the stairs at the courthouse in Ukiah, where we live. You know, well, there's a nearby town. They would take different things that you knew, and they would implant them in that dream, right? So like, wow, it's kind of like the courthouse steps. You know, we're walking up these steps. And anyway, then in the next level, a rectangle pool, my first father figure that was walking with me, hold my hand and said, But then we walked up to the pool, and there's seven pillars around the pool. So I'm at, but at the one end of the pool, it's like a rock waterfall with all this water kind of like splashing down. You'd kind of think, and then the pool looked like a piece of mirror. And you kind of think, wow, how's that pool like a piece of glass and that water splashing down there? It didn't make sense, right? But anyway, then I thought there was like a little lily pad in the center of that pool. But anyway, so then there's like seven pillars around the pool, except for the eighth one would have been where the waterfall was, right? So imagine a rectangle with a pillar at each corner and then a pillar in between, except for the eighth one. But anyway, so then the number seven is like another heavy number. I remember Brother Camping would talk about seven is the number of wisdom. The seven is like this special number of wisdom. Anyway, so then the guy lets go of my hand. He kind of goes like, look up there. And I kind of look up and there's like this pyramid. There's all these steps. You're looking up at a pyramid. And I'm going like, wow. And then right when I look up, there's like this red carpet comes rolling down the steps. But then I look at the carpet about three quarters of the way down or halfway down. Or it's coming down. And then I look, I go, what? And then I look at the leading edge of the carpet thinking, you know, it's rolling. But then it kind of looks like it's like blood, like rolling, like drooping down. Kind of like the way a movie theater has the drapes. The curtains kind of go like, whoop, and they just like drop. It look like they're not rolling. They look like they're just flowing. They just go, bleh. And I kind of went like, oh my God, it looks like blood, right? And right when I thought it looks like blood, the red carpet coming down the steps, I just like panicked. I got scared. And next thing you know, all of a sudden I was like standing at this table. I don't remember walking up the steps. And I was standing behind, I'm looking at these chairs. There's three chairs, one middle, one on the right, one on the left. And then there's another father figure who was there. But anyway, this father figure was a different guy. He's like this tall guy that used to be the dad of this girl I liked at the Road Valley store. I used to work at their dad, I remember, was like really serious, had a real solemn. He's like in a white robe. But anyway, he goes, yeah, sit down. I sit on his right, he sits in the middle. Then on the left, but his chair was like taller than mine. On the left, there's nothing there. I don't even think there was a chair there. There's three candlesticks on the table. And I kind of thought, oh, why is there not? It kind of seemed unbalanced. I kind of thought, oh, okay, that must be the Holy Ghost or something, you know, because they're using number three. They came on three nights also, because number three supposedly means the Trinity, you know, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And it was like, because I learned all the numerology when I listened to my Brother Camping. Yeah, there's three chairs. Anyway, so then there's like three candlesticks. I remember the candles were like super bright. They're going like, woo, just like moving super like slow. You know, just like everything was just super bright. And then there's this goblet. I remember at one point, I looked at the goblet and it was like a shaft of light. Went like, you know, you turn like full goblet a certain way, all of a sudden the light will just like shoot out and reflect out of it. I thought I saw like a jewel crystal go like boom and shoot a purple light at me. At one point when I looked at the goblet, I remember he kind of like motioned, you know, here, drink of it or something, but I don't remember drinking it. Then there's like a little book sitting sideways on the table, and I remember the chair was like real soft. It's like one of these kind of chairs you sit in and like air, and then you're like slowly go like the air like bleeds out or something, and the foam just like melts into, you know, the shape of you. And it's like one of those kind of chairs. I'm just checking out the chair. And it kind of reminded me of the chair that was actually in our office where my brother, that they had up at the winery. And I kind of thought, wow, it's got the nice oak and everything. But I remember the seat was like super cushy when I sat in. Anyway, sat there for a moment. And then the guy, we're just real solemn, didn't say nothing. And then all of a sudden, somehow I just got up, and then all of a sudden my dad is there, the next father figure, and he goes, yeah, we're going for a tour, because my dad used to give people a tour, you know, on holidays, and they go up hunting mushrooms, and my dad was all hyped up, you know, he'd be all like, he had a good side where he's, you know, really liked guests and talk to people and partying, you know, he's kind of wild. He was kind of worked at Manchester State Hospital, and they were like taking LSD when LSD first came out. You know, all these doctors that were out of, you know, like Sandoz LSD, and he's wild. He'd be smoking pot, and, you know, hash, and so, you know, but too much of that partying can mess you up. But anyway, so then all of a sudden my dad's like, yeah, we're going for a tour, you know, and we're taking a tour. And I turn to the right and I get up, and so that father figure is gone. Anyway, so then all of a sudden I turn to the right, and then I'm looking off this balcony, like down to where we came from. I go, like, I have this feeling, like, you know, you have a feeling you get when you stand on a cliff and you're going, oh shit, man, that's way down there. And anyway, then there's like two planter boxes up on the edge of that balcony. I thought, wow, what? There's two more planter boxes up here, but, you know, there's no plants in them. That was kind of weird. There was planter boxes down there and also on the bottom level. I kind of thought later it meant, you know, that you are going to be planted eventually, because the square. See, the idea of the cross and the right angle, the square, that's four, that supposedly where two worlds meet, it's the right angle, you know. So then you say, oh, Christ on the cross, that's right where the two worlds meet, you know. But anyway, so then the square is like, it means universality. I learned all the numerology from that Brother Camping guy. Supposedly two means church. Because, you know, they said apostles went out two by two. When you witness, the thing about witnessing is you witness to another person. And I think it's similar with the secret society. They have like the door with the pillars on either side of the entrance. It talks about the two angels that guarded the gate, Garden of Eden. Or different stories like that. This number two has to do with the two guardians of an entrance. Bible that Brother Camping was always into the number two. Yeah, two means church, you know. He'd just take different cases where they talk about number two, saving the oil for the wedding feast. You know, they always use different numbers. You know, a different story. They can't remember them all, but they always use numbers. I turn around, and my dad goes, yeah, come on, we're going out for a walk. And we go walking down past this little church. There's a guy on the right. He goes, hey, how's it going, you know? My dad's, yeah, we're going out to take a tour. And it's kind of like, you know, this is my third father figure on this journey. And I was following him. And anyway, next thing I know, it's like in the Central Valley. And we're kneeling down, you know, in the Central Valley, they have these peripheral canals that feed the water into the road. And there's like a little siphon hose that you dip into the main canal, and then you dip it over this little mound into the rows. And then the water fills the rows up. Anyway, so the guy goes, come on, I'll show you how to do it. You take this hose, you put it in the row, and I did it. I remember I put the hose feeling like woo, from right when I put the water in the, when he told me, you know, this is how you do it. You put the hose from the main canal into the, and then I could feel this feeling like, whoa, like turbulence. And then I went like, wow, I can feel it sucking. I remember saying that. And then I remember looking out the row, and it was just like a silver sword. You could just see it look like shimmering. You know, the way the water would go way out the road. And when the sun was just right, it looked like mercury just going like, shh, just, you know, like a pointed sword. And I kind of had that feeling like, wow, it looks like a sword just going out there, you know. Then I kind of thought that was a big, heavy symbol. Anyway, then all of a sudden, look up and the guy is like left. And I thought that was my dad, but I didn't know. He's kind of like, he was just gone. I didn't really think of him anymore. And I went like, wow, you know, wait. And I had this feeling like, you know, wait for me. And then I went running after him. Next thing I know, I had this feeling like I'm standing behind a crowd of people that were like in wet white robes. They're all, I see him at the corner of this block of a field, and he's like waving he's like up on a pallet and higher, and he's waving like a stick across the field, kind of like as if to suggest, you know, this will be harvested. You know, I mean, can imagine standing at the corner of a field waving like a waving this stick. I was at the back of this pack of people. It's like at a graduation, and they're all standing there, and he's waving this rod out in the field saying, this is all going to be harvested. It's like in the Central Valley. That's how I had that feeling at first when we were putting the water. Anyway, that was that story.
Do you have an interest in the paranormal? Then you'll love the UnxNetwork.com. The X is your streaming audio and video for everything supernatural, strange, and mysterious, like UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and so much more. From hosts like Clyde Lewis, Whitley Strieber, Micah Hanks, and Christina Gomez. Visit the UnxNetwork.com show page for a complete list of all the paranormal programs you'll find on the X. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for updates at KUNXDB. Follow our Facebook group, UnX Network. Find the podcast on Spotify, iHeart, Audible, and Apple Podcast. It's time.
It's new.
It's the X.
But then later, they threw me another scene that I remember where I was over at Lake Mendocino, and the same thing. I was standing out at the parking lot where everything looks out over the water, where, you know, you could look out over the water, and the same kind of scene was happening where there's all these people dressed in graduation, and the guy standing at the edge of the lake and waving the stick and saying this, and you look way out in the lake surface. It's like there's like a city of floating lily pads with these towers going like way up in the sky, like a giant, looked like giant Christian fish symbols, but way more skinny, that were so high that you'd see them sticking out of the top of the clouds. Everything was like this pink, orange pink, just over the lake. And then you could barely see way out in the lake. It looked like giant, massive floating lily pads with these massive towers. All you could see is just the tops of them, kind of like giant double crescent moons. But anyway, so then that was the walk with God thing. I wrote it all down, drew a picture. I had numbers that signified all the different factors. I think those empty planter boxes in that walk was on the low level. One was on the balcony of the pyramid level. I think that had some, but there was two on the lower level, two on the upper level. And so number two, I think, has to do with the witness, because that meant church. They used all these numbers in the whole thing. I think that meant, since there was no plant in them, I always thought, why is there nothing in those boxes? You know, there's no plant. It's just like when I took off on a saucer ride, that there was a square roof, two concentric squares, but it was like an altar. Another thing is that when that saucer ride took off, it was like a pillar. It went straight up like, whoa, so that you could say, okay, that's, imagine a UFO going straight up and then stopping. That's like a pillar of wisdom, you know, you could say. But anyway, I just look at all the factors and I try to see the symbology and everything they did. But anyway, so what happened? I sent all these letters out to the churches, and I even had to go to the Sacramento Library because I couldn't find enough addresses in the Ukiah Library. And we dug through like every book of every church. And I also sent it to UFO groups. Every kind of science, everything I could. I was trying to get 12,000 done, because, you know, I spent like $7,000. You know, it's not that much considering. I just felt like, wow, this is so important. You know, I just got to, you know, God wants me to tell the churches. You know, it's like because I had money saved. I wasn't super poor, but I wasn't super rich at that time either. But, you know, I sold a lot over in Lake County for, you know, $4,500. And I paid only $5,000. It's really cheap. You know, Lake County still is really. Man, you could get sheep lots. I sold that to help finance that. Oh, yeah, another time I was over there, Lake Mendocino. I forgot to tell you that. When I was getting ready to sell the lot and go over there, I was standing on the edge of Lake Mendocino in kind of like a trance, just sitting there waiting for this guy to show up on a catamaran. He was going to give me a ride or something, but I was going to go to Lake County. Out of the corner of my eye, my left eye, a purple alien's head. I saw what looked like a dome of a head. Somebody took two colors of purple, dark and light purple, and was mixing it in a pot, like spinning. You know, you could see the two colors like twisting. So I saw it first, and then slowly I see it looks like a bulbous head. pier, and then it drops down right to the eyes, to right to about where the nose would be. And I see these two eyes looking at me, and it kind of looks like my eyes. I go, what? And I thought, I go, what is that? Like my alien son or something? And because my eyes are kind of like narrow, I kind of, when I know what my eyes look like. Later I realized, wow, that's me. And then I kind of thought what it meant was that is my passion for the cause, for the aliens. Because when I'm looking out over the lake, they use the idea of Lake Mendocino, the body of water, as water is life, water. And they just create all this stuff around this Lake Mendocino, this body of water. So I'm out looking over the lake. But anyway, sent a letter to all these churches, all the paranormal groups, science groups, astronomy groups. I went different universities and religion areas of different major, where they teach religion, and big fancy university, colleges. I tried to hit every person that thought they were had it all figured out. You go to the seminary. Yeah, we're studying the Bible. We know who God is. We know the mystery. And all these people, they're just so locked in there. Two of the amazing things. Remember I told you that they throw these remote images? One of the most amazing ones was when I was in grade school, the teacher's book, the red letter, the history book, and for some reason when she passed out of books, she didn't know that somebody had her teacher's copy. It has all the answers. On every page is written, there's the answer for this, this course, this is, you give the students, a test, and then the teacher has all the answers. Anyway, somehow I had that book. I didn't realize it until just by accident. I said, way later in the year, I said, yeah, how come my book has all these red writing in it? It's and then all of a sudden she realized, oh, you got my book. I had the teacher's edition, had all the answers. So anyway, this is in fifth or sixth grade or something. That Mary said the aliens throw me that image when I was there, and that teacher said, you have the teacher's edition, you got the answers. And so, as I'm saying, that was a heavy one. And I went oh my God, okay. It's the mystery that nobody knows. And then another one that really was a scene that was amazing was when I used to go to the church up by the park when I was a kid, I had a acorn, and there was a balcony where the organ player would play up in the balcony. And then sometimes people would go up this little stairway in the back where you first go in the church, and you go up in the balcony, you look down, and you see all the people, and I remember I was up there, and I was kind of how little kids do, they just hanging out through the railing of the balcony. And I dropped the acorn by accident, and it went boom on the ground. I remember right when everything was really silent, I thought, oh my God. And people kind of looked what was that? I just, sometimes in the church, it's really silent. Anyway, the aliens, so they threw me that image, you dropped the bomb on the church. And I went, oh, wow, that's a heavy one. And so they can see everything, even though I hadn't remembered that in years, they'll go, yeah, I remember that. And they can just pick it out and say, that's you. And one other thing I'll tell you real quick. When I was really way younger, I had a watch. We used to go swimming way up in the mountains. In this lake up in Pine Mountain, up by Willits, and we were kids, not even in early teens, and we'd ride motorcycles up there. And I remember I had this watch she was actually my fairy godmother, my dad's sister. She gave me this watch, and I remember it was on this rock out in the middle of the lake. So I took it off to go swimming, and I remember it slid off the rock and it went into the water, and I never could find it. Anyway, so they throw me that scene, and what it means, missing time. I kind of thought, what the heck is it? What's that supposed to mean? And so it means, missing time. And then another time, they stole my watch when we were building yurts. And they threw me that one. Okay, missing time. So that, they use. Okay, then another time I worked for David Raitt, a yurt factory in Hopland. David Raitt's sister is actually Bonnie Raitt. I don't know if you heard of Bonnie Raitt. She became pretty famous singer about anymore. But anyway, David Raitt ran this yurt factory. And I remember when I first went to work there, this was right about when my dad died. I remember that he had a stairway that walked up to the upper level of the yurt. It's kind of like a UFO would have, not exactly, but it would go up and then to the right. Romero walked in there the first day, and he like shook my hand. He goes, "Welcome aboard." And he shook my hand. You know, the yurt is shaped like a saucer. But anyway, so the aliens throw me that image, like, "Welcome aboard. Like, you know, you're working for us now." Right. So remember I said how they can take images and throw them and say, you know, that is you. You were. Anyway, then in the yurt factory, there's this one machine called the Blue Comet, like this cross-cut saw. It's like really big, powerful, when you pull it to cut. Then they throw me an image of that. I'm like, you know, Blue Comet, you're in outer space now or something. Yeah, you know, they just see everything. They can see everything you ever did. And then they make a big, you know, they throw you these scenes and they say, yeah, you're part of our group trying to, you know, tell the people or something. But anyway, that I got to go back to, I just wanted to get those out because they were the highlight. The remote image gave all the letters to the post office and got a lot of weird letters back saying, you know, you're dealing with, that is not God, you know, that's Satan, that God does not. And I got this one really good letter. I'll have it on the link of some guy from South America was visited by a being in his dad's house, a being that was a tall. He goes, their eyes were too big like this. You know, he drew this picture of this being. So I did get one really good letter back from, it's like a guy that knew a UFO group that was all blown away by being visited by some being. And I got that letter. Anyway, so then they're still in contact with me and they kind of like mentor me. And it's kind of like this other little voice says, you know, stay away from, if you know you're having trouble with certain people. Or that another thing, I went up to the monastery and that was a long time ago. I told them, yeah, the aliens, they didn't believe it was God. And then later that night, I see like an image of like, you know, the Onion Dome they have. It's like this old Catholic monastery, Byzantine. They have those big gold onion domes. I see this image of like a fist with like a middle finger, like sticking out like, F yeah, you know, like the Onion Dome is saying, no, we don't buy that. They say, yeah, they can like create these little skits in your dreams that speak, you know, some people say the other intelligence is artificial. You know, at first I always thought it was an actual person or a combination of a couple people, but now other people are saying, oh, it's all artificial intelligence is capable of all this, you know, it's amazing. Anyway, so I tried, I don't know if anybody believed it. So Brother Camping finally ended up dying, you know, in the mid or 2000. I got a few other letters. I got a lot of letters back, just people asking for, you know, please support our ministry. And everybody just wants you to send them money. It's like, what? It's like, you don't believe, they don't even want to hear your, but you know, I got some letters saying, you know, I feel very sorry for you. Please do not ever write me again. Signed, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then there's like no return on the envelope. Like, okay, obviously I can't ever write you again because I don't even know who you are. I got a few kind of really letters, but mostly people didn't reply. Oh yeah, one really good one for like three different nights. One night I would wake up, and right when I would wake up, I'd look out the window, and I'd see the sun just cresting the hill, the mountaintop. And then this thought, and then they did three different things. They did a wave, a particle, and they'd say the sun is rising. And then I'd feel like this woof woof. I'd see these waves, kind of like the way you'd see seaweed on a shore. You know, you see seaweed like lapping in a pool. He's going woo woo and kind of waves. And then the next morning, they said the sun is rising. And then then I see what's like a particle is gonna snowstorm, like bombarding, just like kind of like if you're in a snowstorm, it's night and they're just like bombarding into your face. And then anyway, so they did this on three nights, and they do this exact. I wake up exactly, and I'd look out the window, and the sun would just be cracking the top of the mountain. And I hear this thought in my head, the sun is rising. First they did the waves, and they did the particles, and then that was pretty amazing. Yeah, then later on, I had these other really cool visions. One of them was like a door with two circles, imagine like a perfect rectangle with two circles. It's like vision number 9. And there's like a cross X through each circle. So that stands for the two worlds are one, because that means it represents the rectangle's door. The two circles represent the witnesses. Then the X, the most ancient symbol for God, is a circle with a cross through it.
What I'll do is, Mark, the link you provided me, I'll put that below the episode in the description, okay? So people can go there and read your writings. And because there is certainly a lot to go over for people to read. There is quite a few pages. When you would see the beings, can you describe them all? What do they look like?
I never saw gray. I never saw any beings. The only being I ever saw was in my mind when they were visiting me. I could imagine that this is what, this is them standing at the foot of my bed. But I was so afraid to open my eyes that I just didn't want to open my eyes. I never saw any being. But when they first were like monitoring, I would hear this high-pitched beep in my ear, like other people have heard say that. It goes like, ring. It sounds like someone's taking a tuning fork. You know, then you hit it and then you move it towards your ear and all of a sudden you can hear it go like, ring. So then they can also do this vacuum, like woof, sounds like in your head. That's kind of, I wasn't sure what that meant, but they do that a few times. But this high-pitched ringing would kind of come, and it would kind of go like, woo. But then at first I didn't really know what that was. And then I finally realized it meant like, yes, you know, you are being monitored. We are there. Like early on, then I hear on the radio, I was listening to religious radio that said, you know, the Father knows all, or, you know, God is watching or something. And right when I would hear that, I would hear this ring. But I would hear it right after a really profound insight, right? And I go, oh my God, that means they're watching. But at first I would be hearing that off and on. I didn't really know what the heck what meant. But anyway, there was like a stage where I felt like really self-conscious, like, oh my God, you know, they're watching, they know everything. You know, I kind of felt like, you know, they know everything about me, you know, but you know, finally just get over that. They know everything anyway. Because when they first came, I was really just blown away, but I felt like I was just walking in a trance. I just felt like really calm, like, wow. And I was like, really? I tell people, wow, it's like visited by aliens, you know. And the next day I was driving down San Francisco, delivering some wine, but no big deal. But this is like the first three nights they come on, three successive nights. I was like working during the day, and, you know, because I didn't really work at the winery then. I kind of, once in a while, they'd let me do something. But just by chance, I just happened to be like driving, delivering wine that day, and it's like I wasn't even freaked out. I was just, somehow you'd think, you know, I'd be all just freaking out, but I wasn't. I just felt like there's some other in spirit in me that just made me feel like it's all good.
And did they ever give you any reason why they were in contact with you?
Oh no, I think it stemmed from they had me somehow programmed where my mind was a willing participant in trying to help them, you know, like get the churches on the bandwagon. Yes, the UFOs are, this is back in 1993, right? So there's still a lot of stuff out there. You know, when it first happened, I was like so in the dark about, my God, what is going on? I just tried to find like everything I could. And I just went to every thrift store, every books, every library, and just find all these really obscure books, like older ones, like, you know, Jean Dixon and, you know, like kind of like a lot of weird older New Age writers that, you know, channeling, you know, like Seth and all that. And then all these really weird off the wall ones like the Peter Hercos, the weird photographic memory guy, and these weird, like crazy ones about a mind of Billy Milligan. All these really weird ones where there's like possession, people that are like borderline possessed by demons, you know, but then Madame Blavatsky and all these other stuff going way back into the early 1900s, you know, about 19 or year 2000, I went online. I tried to get every old UFO book they have from the 50s. Remember all those contactees like Damsky and Menger and Angelucci and Daniel Fry and just, oh, there's some really obscure ones, but all those like major ones, you know, the Keogh and all those kind of older ones. There's like so many of them that there was like all these really older ones, you know, and I tried to like get all the real classic. So I have a collection. You remember Jeffrey Mishlove? had that guy, the PK man, the book originally by the PK man called How to Space People. That guy's name.
Ted, isn't it? That's Ted Owens.
Yeah, exactly. I have his original book. It has like a face on the front with these two, the eyes, it has two sets of eyes of like a weird alien or something. Yeah, it's like there's second copies, but it's really rare. Now you got the Silver Bridge. Remember the Silver Bridge story and the Mothman thing? I have an original copy of that, the first edition. So I tried to collect all these really rares. Luckily, they didn't all burn down because like big fires came through Northern California. A lot of people's houses burned, but where I was living, all my rare books survived. Yeah, I just became fanatic. You got to like study a lot, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's there's so much material.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, Mark.
So I can't get over it. You know, it's like been like 30 years. And I always think about it. It's like, yeah, it'll just like change your life.
Exactly. And sometimes can be difficult to say, you know, over the phone. Sometimes it's easier to actually have it down in writing, as you know, as you found out. Mark, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, I was like kind of nervous. All right. Thanks so much.
You did great.
Okay,
Mark, take care. And we will speak soon.
All right. See you later.
See you later. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Bye for now, Mark.
Okay, bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Mark for sharing tonight, and as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.